Good morning.
Good morning.
You didn't know you'd have a scripture reader, did you?
No.
Some of the words today may sound very familiar to you. It's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 15. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Thank you very much. There are two versions of the Lord's Prayer, one in Matthew and one in Luke 11, and some traditions will say trespasses instead of debts or debtors. Some say sins, and then there's modern versions, and this is a little bit different in this version of the Bible than we recite every Sunday here at Glenshaw Valley and other churches around the community and the world. But they basically are saying the same thing. A few years ago, Rabbi Wayne Dosick was at an airport when he witnessed a very unusual scene. A police officer was approached. Excuse me. A police officer approached a mother and her small daughter. Someone had filed a missing persons report on the little girl, and this girl was about the same age and similar in appearance. So the officer was asking the mother to prove that the child was actually her child and she had not been kidnapped. First, the officer tried questioning the toddler, a technique that proved to be futile. He asked the name of her father, and she replied, "Daddy." Asked, "Where do you live?" "At home." So the officer then asked the mother to produce some forms of identification that would prove that she was really the child's mother. After some time, the police officer was satisfied that mother and child belonged to one another, and this was not the one that they were looking for. But after this encounter, Rabbi Dosick, he began to think, how could I prove that this child is really my child? And then the rabbi decided he would ask his boys to learn and recite their prayers in this type of a situation. And once the officer would hear his son's prayers, he would know that these boys did belong to him and belong to God. I think that's very smart. Teach your children to pray. A very basic thing in our lives, so that they'll know that they are loved by you and that they are loved by their Heavenly Father. Some of my favorite stories are about children and have some about prayer today. A little girl prayed, as only children can do. And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. I think that says it all. A little girl who was overheard to pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us some email. Of the young boy who knelt down beside his bed every night to say his prayers, and one night he was very bored with the same old prayer, one that I learned as a child. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, can I eat breakfast with you in the morning? Try to improve on that prayer. The disciples knew how important prayer was to Jesus Christ. They had seen him pray. They had seen him go off by himself just to be in prayer. So they asked him, how do we pray? because they were just used to their Jewish tradition, and Jesus is bringing something new to the table. Because of their request, you and I have a guide to a prayer that we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Not only that, but Jesus follows this prayer with some commentary to help us understand more fully what prayer means in our lives, and really should go home and read that whole chapter. Entire books have been written about this prayer and about Jesus and his teachings. So we're going to focus on the big picture, just three basic words about prayer: Father, forgiveness, and faithfulness. Jesus changed religion forever with one simple word. Abba, translated more purely, is Daddy. Years ago, a comedy writer, Robert Orton, made one he considered a little joke. He said, "Somehow I can't see myself ever saying, 'Our dad, our daddy, who art in heaven.'" And it probably sounds strange just to hear that. Yeah, that is exactly what Jesus did. As theologian David Buttrick expresses it, the Lord's Prayer with its Abba turns all our formal, strained praying into glad amusement, right in the middle of our stained glass prayers is phrases the word Daddy. God is Daddy. That's what Jesus told his disciples. No longer would religion be an exercise in attempting to appease an angry, vengeful God. From now on, it would be an exercise in living gratefully and joyfully in the knowledge that one was created and sustains us as a loving heavenly parent whose will is always the best for us. For many people, religious faith is an attempt to buy God off. That's always been true and is still true today. Some people pray to God not because they love God, but because they're afraid that if one day they forget to pray, that God is going to punish them and send them to an eternity of damnation. I hope I don't have to tell you that this is not the faith of Jesus. Jesus prayed out of a heart of gratitude and love and mercy. I like the story that Cheryl Donaldson tells about a grandfather. Said a grandfather started his prayers every morning by the side of his bed, praying for those whom he loved. And according to Cheryl, a grandfather began every prayer, whether in the morning, at night, or out somewhere, praying for someone else. "Father, we thank you that we belong to you." Over the years, that one thing never changed. No matter what the occasion, no matter who he was praying for, her granddad always began his prayers, "Father, we thank you that we belong to you." Why can we be thankful that we belong to God? Because God can be trusted to always act in our best interest, because he is our daddy and a loving heavenly parent. And I know sometimes when we say father or even mother, some have been brought up in homes where the parents were not loving. Maybe they were abusive. Maybe they were alcoholics or drug addicts or never gone or just acted like they didn't love their children. So sometimes when we hear the word daddy or father, some of us get a negative image. But I want you to always, no matter what your relationship was growing up, change it and look to your heavenly Father as being better than your earthly parent could ever, ever be. Nothing can break the bond between our hearts and his. This is why we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If God's will is done, we cannot help but win in this life. We can pray also, "Give us this day our daily bread," because we know our heavenly parent wants what's best for us, and he wants us to pray daily that our needs are met. Jesus turned religion on his head with one simple word, Dad. And the second word is forgiveness. Jesus showed us what it means to live in a state of grace. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses. What it's really saying, forgive us of our sins. As we forgive those who have sinned or trespassed, or we owe debts too. someone who has sinned against us, someone who has hurt us, whether it may be physically, it may be mentally, it may be in a spiritual sense, whatever, we are to do our very best to forgive that person and not hold on to that anger. The people we meet were no better or worse than the people that you and I meet every day. Some are strong, some are weak, some are fortunate, some have had bad breaks in life, bad break after bad break. But Jesus valued them all. He hadn't come into the world to condemn people, and we have to remember this, but to save them, to give them the gift of eternal life and the abundant life here upon this earth. How different Jesus was from many other people. There are people who delight in keeping a record of other people's wrongs. They want to make sure that everyone gets what's coming to them, even though themselves are dependent upon the grace of God. Now, when I use an illustration, I like to tell you. I used this one a few years back, but I liked it so much and I think it's so powerful, I want to use it again today. Maybe you remember it, maybe you won't, and some of you are hearing it for the first time. But Ken Crockett tells about an elderly woman who had died several years ago and had a very difficult time with forgiveness, forgiving people that she felt had hurt her or wronged her, whether they did or not. Family members were cleaning out her house when they found a scrapbook with obituaries from the local newspaper. Many of the death notices pertained to the people that they knew that she detested. As bizarre as it may sound, she kept a scrapbook of her dead enemies. She even had 5 clippings of obituary for the person that she hated the most. I have to imagine that that woman had a very miserable life. Jesus would not have us to be caught up in a trap of resentment and hate and anger. We forgive others so we can be forgiven by God. We forget about that sometimes. But God calls us to forgive and to heal. The last word is faithfulness, and you can find more about this in the later part of the chapter. Linda Washington was going through a particularly frustrating time in her life, and she felt like her prayers were going unheard by God. And I'm sure we've all felt like that at times. Her anger towards God was interfering with her inability to pray. She didn't even want to try to pray anymore. On election day of that year, Linda showed up at the polling place, and she was waiting. A man came up to her and asked, "Are you saved?" Somewhat taken aback by the stranger's directness, she replied, "Yes." "Do you think God doesn't hear your prayers?" She said, "Sometimes." The stranger responded, "Well, God has got big ears." Well, God does have big ears, big enough to hear all of our prayers, even if we're all uttering them at the exact same time. Whether we're rich or poor, black or white, male or female, young or old, deserving or undeserving, God will hear every word that you pour out from your heart to Him in the name of Jesus. Jesus in this prayer is saying that God is faithful. If we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be opened. So don't get discouraged. Don't decide that God doesn't hear your prayers. Because God is faithful. He has big ears. He has a big heart. All his life, 9-year-old Jamie Patterson had wanted to be a preacher. The youngster was telling his grandfather, Mr. Patterson of Fort Smith, what his first sermon was going to be all about. This could be God's umbrella. Mr. Patterson, grandfather, asked for some details. He said, "That's all there is to it. God has this big umbrella, and everyone is going to be protected under it." Grandfather liked this idea very much. He said, "What's your second sermon going to be about?" The youngster was getting impatient by this, you know, like, "What do you mean, second sermon? I told you, Granddad, once you know that the umbrella is there, that's all you need to know. So Mr. Patterson asked him, well, what's your second sermon going to be about? What will you tell the folks the next week? He said, well, I'm just going to say, let's go outside and play. I like that. It's about time for us to go out and play. We live under God's protection, His umbrella. He loves us, whether we feel like at times that He doesn't, often because something that we've done in our own lives, we pull away from God, but God does not pull away from us. So when you pray, remember those things. Father, our daddy, forgiveness, and faithful. May God bless you. Amen.